Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
The Recap Show is an inside look for fans into the world of global soccer, women's sports, and all things gal culture.
From the inside perspective of two World Cup champions and Olympians.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Alrighty, hour number three of our radio program. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Some potential rule changes that could be coming down the turnpike to the National Football League. These are some rule changes that have been submitted. Once again, not altered yet, not agreed upon, not voted yes or no, just submitted. Here's one of them. The Green Bay Packers. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. I usually say go, Pack, go here, but I can't say go, Pack, go here. Stu was thinking I was having a Mitch McConnell moment there for a second. That's his name. I'm pretty sure the politician. But anyway, I don't like this. The Green Bay Packers are proposing a rule change to prohibit an offensive player from pushing a teammate who is lined up directly behind the snapper and receives the snap immediately at the snap. So they are trying to ban the tush push. The brotherly shove. I don't like it. I am in favor of pushing the tush. All right? The tush push. I'm in favor of it. I'm giving Samson Stu just drops. But like, what are we doing here? So Green Bay loses a playoff game. Oh, we don't like the tush push. Wah! Like, bunch of losers. I like the Packers too. I'm usually pro Green Bay. But this is just weak sauce. To just a different degree by the Green Bay Packers. It's like, what, should we not allow a QB sneak anymore? What's next? We're going to say, oh, a screen pass. It goes for too many yards, so we're going to prevent that. It's football. Line it up, man versus man, and you know what? If you get down to the one-yard line, stop it. Right? Like, Buffalo had problems with it. The Eagles just run it better than anybody else. So I am not in favor. Like, let's do, we'll go around the room here. Do you give a thumbs up or a thumbs down? I am thumbs down to the Green Bay Packers request of banning pushing the tush with the tush push. I'm in favor of the tush push. Stu?
Yeah, major thumbs down to the Packers. You should keep the tush push, learn how to stop it. At some point, teams will figure it out and it'll normalize itself.
All righty, Samter, you like the tush push?
100%. Now, if every team in the NFL was doing it and doing it well and it was successful no matter what,
then a little monotonous. Sure.
Then maybe, okay, fine, maybe it's just, but there's only one team that can do it. So why are you penalizing this one team who's just mastered this one play? Learn it, master it, get better at it.
Yeah, I just think that's good football, right? You know, you designed a play, you came up with something different. You got the hog mollies in the trenches, right? Winning at, right up at front. And then you got maybe a little like Saquon Barkley pushing Jalen Hurts. I got no problem with it.
And if you want to start saying, okay, though, let's get rid of, you know, offensive linemen helping to pull or drag or push a running back for an extra yard or two. Like, what are we doing here? I mean, you can't stop players from trying to help their teammates from doing that. But if you are going to get rid of the tush push, you have to get rid of all situations
yes.
where all players help their teammate try to get an extra yard.
Yeah, so like, let's not have any extra effort. If a running back's downfield and needs like two more yards, I don't want to see any linemen start or a quarterback or, you know, whoever, a wide receiver start pushing a running back. That's a very good point, Samter. So we're all in agreement. The tush push should be allowed. Next rule. This is from the Detroit Lions. To eliminate an automatic first down as a penalty imposed for defensive holding and illegal contact. Samter, thumbs up, thumbs down on this rule proposal?
Thumbs up, but there's a gray area, but mostly a thumbs up. There's nothing worse than like a 3rd and 16. You get like an illegal contact
that's
2 yards
from the
line of scrimmage, and now boom, automatic first down. However, the last thing you want is some guy who gets just beat like a drum, and now he's holding really hard on like what obviously would have been a first down or what would have been a big catch. So it almost reminds me of when they had the intentional or non-intentional, like a face mask,
yeah,
where it was kind of subjective and 5 yards for accidental, 15 yards for a really bad one. I would almost like to have that. If it's a really bad hold down the field that actually impacted the play significantly, fine. If it's a illegal contact 2 yards from the line of scrimmage that was on the other side of the field that the receiver wasn't even looked at by the quarterback, then definitely not an automatic first down.
So I'm actually going thumbs down to this. I thought I was originally going to go thumbs up. And here's why. You said gray area. I think you were onto something. If you tell me, okay, pass interference isn't a spot foul anymore, then I think maybe for this, then we're okay. I just think it's too gray to determine illegal contact and defensive holding. Like, those things aren't an automatic first down. Wouldn't be an automatic first down. But then, like, what's going to get called pass interference? Like, that's such a razor-thin margin, illegal contact, defensive holding, and pass interference. I think either you just make it right, and I know pass interference would still be a 15-yard penalty and an automatic first down for the sake of this, but I think you need to change, like, all three, or you change none at all. So, in this case, to eliminate an automatic first down as a penalty imposed for defense holding illegal contact, I'm just going to say it, be more disciplined. And I'm usually in favor of helping out the defense. But in that case, if you make a stupid play on the opposite side of the field that has nothing to do with the play, yeah, it stinks. But be a smarter football player. So I'm going thumbs down on this. That would be my vote here. Stu?
I am with Santer. I am thumbs up on this. Now, I agree with you. There are gray areas, so it would need to be ironed out more. But I think the offense, especially passing game, has probably too many advantages in this day's NFL. So I think, you know, we see these games where it's just ridiculous and it's just so many of these fouls called, and I just feel like the defense is at such a disadvantage. So I think this would kind of help that a little, but okay, it needs to be ironed out.
Now, this is the next proposal from the Eagles. This is a long one. Just the way that they were. It's not that confusing, but it's just long the way that they worded it. To align the postseason and regular season overtime rules by granting both teams the opportunity to possess the ball regardless of the outcome of the first possession, subject to a 15-minute overtime period in the regular season. So, in the regular season right now, if you get the ball first and you march down the field and you score, game's over, right? In the postseason, if you march down the field, score a touchdown first, the game isn't over, the other team gets a chance to respond. Now, I think in the regular season, if you march down the field and you get a field goal, the game's not over, the other team then gets a chance to respond. And then obviously, if you don't do anything when you get the ball first, then it's sudden death after this. So I think aligning, I know in hockey, right, you had the shootout in the regular season, in the postseason, it's just sudden death overtime. I'm fine with the shootout in hockey in the regular season. I am, after you get 5 minutes of overtime. In the NFL, though, I never understood that in terms of, and I've kind of been a proponent of, you just, like, I guess the clock really doesn't matter that much. It does in the regular season, not in the postseason. But I would just, in the NFL postseason, I would align it with the regular season. So I would say thumbs up on this, that both teams get a chance to possess the football. I think if you make, it's such like a minor change. It's not like two totally different overtime. It's such a minor change to do like how it is in hockey, where it's two totally different things. In the NFL, I think that they should have identical overtimes from the regular season and the postseason. So I give this a thumbs up. Stu?
Yeah, I'm with you. In baseball, too, now is different, right?
Because, oh, yeah, that's right,
the ghost runner goes away in the postseason and they play, you know, how many innings you need with the,
I feel like you hate the ghost runner.
I love the ghost runner.
Really?
For the regular season, I love the ghost runner.
Yeah, everyone bitches and complain about it. Like, I don't, for the regular season, I don't have that big.
Don't need 16 inning games in,
like, maybe
August.
In September, I don't need it if it's like the last 2 weeks of the season, if there's like a major playoff implication or something like that. So,
but yeah, I'm thumbs up for this. I'm kind of with you. I just think there's no reason why both teams shouldn't have the opportunity to score a touchdown. Like, if a team scores a touchdown, the other team should be able to get the ball, I think.
Yeah, it's kind of stupid how in the postseason, it's, oh, both teams get a chance to get it. But in the regular season, oh, you, if you score a touchdown first, then the other team doesn't get the ball back. That makes no sense to me. All righty, Samter, you for this?
No, thumbs down for this.
Really?
One. Yeah, especially if they're going to start. They already added a 17th game. They're going to try to add an 18th game. Now you're trying to extend overtime.
But they don't care about
minutes.
Player safety. Is it? Are you a player safety argument guy here?
It's not even a player safety thing. It's just like, you know what? It's the regular season. If you can't stop a guy from scoring a touchdown overtime, in the playoffs, it's different. Regular
well, you know
season,
what? Ironically.
This will lead to more ties, I think.
I used to. Well. Ooh, that's a good point. Well, wouldn't you just go for two then?
Yeah, I guess. You could.
Right? Like, wouldn't I just, if I'm at the end of the game, now if you need a tie to get in the postseason, it's different. But instead of kicking an extra point, wouldn't you just go for two and you try to go win the game right there? I've said this, and this was my original take. Remember when the Chiefs bitched after the AFC Championship game with the Patriots? Kind of what you said. That was my original take, but since they already changed it, that's why I would just make them identical. Is, you know, we do so much that basically, you know, in this game where my take was at the time, it was pretty simple. It was like, defense, stop them. Like, you got a chance to stop. I know you're winded. I know you're like sucking air and all that stuff, but just stop them. You know, it's all you have to do is just, if you hold them, I think, right? If it's on a touchdown, you just make a stop. Like, that's what I would do. But, hey, that's already past that point. Anyway, last one here. So this one I think is interesting. The Lions have proposed a postseason format to allow wild card teams to be seeded higher. Can you take me higher? Than division champions if the wild card team has a better regular season record. So, for example, this year, the Minnesota Vikings, double-digit wins, had the second, I think the second most wins in the NFC, but since they didn't win the division and the Lions won the division, the Lions got the one seed, the Vikings had to go on the road, and the Vikings had to be the fifth seed because you have your four division winners get a home game. Santer, you thumbs up or thumbs down on this rule proposal?
This is my biggest thumbs down by far. Divisions mean something. You play teams within your division twice. So I don't want to, I wouldn't want to.
Take help. Away from that?
Well, yeah, or help a team who's in a bad division who just happens to win more games because they're in a bad division. Divisions matter. You win your division, you get a home game. You don't have to get a bye, you get a home game. It's a reward and it's worth it.
Stu?
This is my biggest thumbs up.
Ooh.
I love this.
Why? Because you think there's going to be one year the Raiders win 14 games and they don't win the division?
Because they're never going to beat my Chiefs.
This is definitely not built for the Raiders. I just feel like there's too many years where, let's just use the NFC South, for example. A team gets in with 7, 8, 9 wins. And then there's a team in another division that
the Commanders were like 7-9 or whatever, and the Bucks too. Yeah,
it was the NFC West one year.
Yeah, the Seahawks, I think.
Yeah,
no, wasn't it the Rams?
I think it was the Seahawks with Marshawn Lynch, and they won a home game.
Yeah, and they actually won.
Oh yes,
a home game.
Against the Saints. I also think the Rams, Bradford, may have been his rookie year, or maybe that was the last game of the season or something like that. Anyway, that doesn't matter.
I think. Every division gets their team in. I think that's enough. I think if you win your division, even if even if there's a wild card team with more wins ahead of you, you still get in the playoffs and that's fine. But to be awarded a home game against a team that could have 2, 3, 4 more wins than you, I think that's ridiculous. So I would get rid of having the division, home field advantage, home game for just winning your division. I think that doesn't have to happen.
This is the one I'm most split on. Because I think you're both kind of right. And I know that's so lame. But I sit here and I hear Samter say it and I go, yeah, I don't want to take away from the divisional games. It's so special what we do in the NFL and how much those division games matter and all that stuff. But then I'm thinking to myself, like, I could have 13 wins. I could play in a tougher division. And then, some slap-you-know-what team plays in some slap-you-know-what division, and they get a home game where I have to go on the road, and I know I'd end up be playing that slap-you-know-what team in a 4-5 game, but you're on the road. I think this is why I lean more towards Stu. I'm going to cross-pollinate here. You go to college football. I've been an advocate of saying, hey, if you win your conference, you just get a spot in. You shouldn't get a top four bye, right? That's something I've been saying since that new format to 12 teams come out. That's the deciding factor for me. I try to be consistent, and I think there, if you win your division, you should get in, but I don't think you should be guaranteed, a top four seed is the way that I would put it. So that was the differentiating factor, but man, that was the toughest one to answer.
It's funny how all three of us were so adamant. You were the most split, I was the most down, he was the most up. So that was a controversial one.
You know what? It's kind of like I was what Jalen Milroe needs to be. Like, you need to find the middle ground. There's a little stew there. There's a little Santer. Very few moments where it's all the way at the tippy top of the mountain where he's unbelievable. Then you're all the way down at the bottom. You got to find the middle ground. So Jalen Milroe, when you tie your shoes, you know, like Mike, great movie. Be like Mike. You know, now you'll say, be like Zach. You just got to find the middle ground there. That's what I do. If you want to chime in on any of these rule changes or potentials, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476.
There is one rule change that I want to propose.
Oh, wait. If you were the commissioner or if you were one of these teams, there's a rule that annoys you that
yes.
you want to change.
As the New York Jets representative, long time, forever New York Jets fan.
Before you do that,
yes.
I just want to make this stance clear because I've changed this through the years. I am in favor of the fumbling out of the end zone rule. Is this the rule that you're trying to change?
No, but I hate that too.
So here's why. We take away so much from the defense. So much. It's impossible to play defense. And I used to be like Samter, where I would sit there and I would say, you fumble it out of bounds at the one, you get the ball back. You fumble it out of the back of the end zone, and then you lose the ball, and the other team gets a touchback. It's maybe the one rule in the NFL that benefits the defense. So as a defensive guy, you know, I'm going to say I am in favor of keeping and not changing the fumbling out of the back of the end zone. I know that's a very unpopular take. So a lot of people are going to slide into my DMs and be mad at me. But what do you got?
This is not that, but I do not like that rule. This also does actually help the defense.
Ooh.
I hate the 10-yard penalty for holding on offense. I hate on 1st and 10, you run the ball up the middle for a 1-yard gain. It's a little bit of a hold. You grab the jersey and you're back up. Now it's 1st and 20 after a 1-yard run. Here's how I would fix it though. On a pass play, 10 yards. On a run play, 5 yards. But it shouldn't back you up 10 yards if you hold a guy on a run play that's going to at most lose you a yard or two.
It makes no sense to me. You could have given me 9,000 guesses on what you're going to change. I don't ever think. So you're saying, let me get this right. If there's offensive holding, you don't think it, you should only think it should be a 10-yard penalty if it's a pass and 5 on a run?
There's nothing worse than on 1st and 10 to start a possession.
How does that benefit the defense? Didn't you start this off saying that benefits
the defense? No, the rule now benefits the defense.
Oh, okay.
My change would probably help the offense a little bit more. But there's nothing worse as a fan than watching your team.
Well, hold.
Yes, but so many of these holds are subjective, and so many of them are ticky-tack, especially on like a 1 or 2 yard run.
Huh?
Where like,
are you trolling me?
At most, you're going to lose, 2 or 3 yards on a run play? Who loses 10 yards on a run play? It makes no sense that on 1st and 10, you have a little ticky-tack hold, and now you're starting at 1st and 20. You're so far behind the sticks, it changes the entire drive. Games, seasons, championships have changed hands because of that stupid rule on a dumb run play.
Well, don't hold.
There's holding on every single play.
Yeah, and you know what? Every kid knows this that ever played offensive line. There was always a thick some bitch that would walk in, right? I just love saying it that way. There was always an offensive line coach in high school, whoever the biggest coach in the coaching staff was, and they would grab the lineman by the face mask the first day of two-a-days. I'll never forget this. Middle school and also in high school, and they would say, "You block here. You're inside." They would also maybe make a sexual reference that probably wouldn't fly these days. But back then, even I could be a back in my day guy now. Oh, I am getting old. This is not good. But you got to be inside. Once you go outside the numbers, once you grab on the shoulder pads or out, that's holding. So like, You're in favor of holding, is what you're telling me. Don't hold.
No, I'm not in favor of holding, but the penalty is punitive on a run play. Because even if it is a hold, because oftentimes it's subjective. Sometimes you look at the play, you're like,
shouldn't all holds be created equal?
No, I don't think so. It's the same thing with the pass interference that we were talking about, or the face mask call. Not all plays are equal. On a sack, you can lose 10, 12, 15 yards.
Yeah.
So I get it. A 10-yard penalty on a pass play because you're avoiding a sack. But if you're holding on a run play, how often do you lose more than 5 yards on a run play? Rarely, if ever.
Stu, how much do the Raiders lose on a run play?
I'll tell you, this rule that he's creating would really help the Raiders because I've seen a lot of holding penalties. A lot of holding penalties.
Let me tell you, Samter, I think whenever it's your time to go, we need to donate your brain. Because that's the most I have never heard someone advocate this. Like, you could have given me 3,000 guesses. I would have never said Mike was going to tell me only 10 yards on a pass play for holding, 5 on a run play. It's a peculiar one. I give you credit for it. I'm not in favor of it. I'm giving you a thumbs down in terms of actually changing it. But you said you're representing the Jets, right?
Yeah.
So another bad decision by the Jets, pretty much. That one to me is the most peculiar rule change I've ever heard. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. We will come on back. Aaron Rodgers, what should he do? I got the answer next. All right, it is the Zach Gelb Show, Infinity Sports Network. Let me just make sure that this is legitimate. Before I say it, Deion Sanders, Coach Prime, has a new member of his coaching staff. Byron Leftwich is on the coaching staff at Colorado. So former Bucks OC Byron Leftwich is back in coaching, according to Jordan Schultz. You know, I'll tell you, Jordan Schultz is starting to enter the circle of trust. He said, Ian Rappaport, oh no, you did it. Little Starbucks punch. I'll serve you up a little humble pie. I like Ian Rappaport. But Jordan Schultz had that little kerfuffle at a Starbucks on his home turf. And the next thing you know, Schultz, he's getting scoops left and right. But he's back in coaching and is joining Deion Sanders' staff at Colorado. Now, a little demerit there, and we'll take a point off for Jordan Schultz for not calling Deion Sanders Coach Prime. Leftwich interviewed for multiple NFL jobs this past cycle. Pats head coach, which was a fugazi interview anyway. Seahawks offensive coordinator, but now makes his move to college. So Byron Leftwich, he joins Warren Sapp, my best friend, and Marshall Faulk, who in the last 2 years, all those guys have joined the staff at Colorado. So congratulations to Byron Leftwich. I'll never forget watching that game with my dad when he was the QB at Marshall. And he had to get carried down the field on that game-winning drive when he was injured, Byron Leftwich. We'll never forget that. So Darren DeVries, we talked about this earlier. He is now the new head basketball coach at Indiana. His son, Tucker DeVries, who was at Drake and now is at West Virginia, he has entered the NCAA transfer portal, according to On3 Sports, with a do not contact tag, according to Pete Nakos. Now, this is the second time I've seen this today. You could enter the portal and you could, like, basically, do not disturb on your phone. Do not contact me. I kind of like that. I think we should actually have that policy around here. We should have, like, a do not talk tag where if we go into the newsroom and someone just spewing takes left and right, trying to do a show in the newsroom, when we come out of the studio while we're doing a show, sometimes some people get a little chattery here, a little chatty. I could, like, have a bib or something that I wear around here that says, do not talk, and put that tag out there. Because there's a few people here. There's some people I like, but then there's some people, they try to basically do a show during the break when I'm just trying to go get a water or a coffee or I'm trying to go to the bathroom or something like that. And it gets a little bit confusing in the newsroom.
Does the name begin with an A and end with a Gallo?
No, I actually like my conversations with Anthony Gallo. I've never seen Stu laugh harder. I like Anthony Gallo.
You're not wrong.
Me too.
But,
no,
but you're
I
not wrong.
Gallo.
He does do that. I would not put the do not contact tag up when I do see Anthony Gallo. Now, let me tell you something. When YouTube bozos are talking soccer, that do not contact tag would 1,000% be up. Like, oh, I'd like to hear you two guys talk soccer. And you know what, Stu? I'm a big fan of Azarm, who filled in for you. I like Alex Azarm. I can't take him talking soccer. He makes you two not even look like soccer fans. Oh yeah. My goodness gracious, when you were out. I thought I had a headache. Like I thought I was drunk and I had a hangover. And, oh, he just wouldn't shut up about the soccer.
If you think that's annoying, then sorry, Stu. Just wait till the Club World Cup kicks off here in the States. We're going to have matches, like some of the best soccer clubs in the world here at MetLife Stadium here in New York, New Jersey. We're going to be going to games. We're going to be wearing Siri. Our scarves and our jerseys. We're going to be talking soccer all day, every day. We're like less than 3 months away from the Club World Cup.
Hey, Siri, set a reminder to call Steve Apria to cut the cable cord in the studios. All right. Well, what's the date for this little tournament that you got coming up, Sam? What is it?
It's in June.
We are 87 days, 2 hours, 29 minutes, and 19, 18, 17, 16
to
seconds
what?
Away until it kicks off.
What kicks off?
It's the FIFA Club World Cup. So it's the best teams.
That's
it's the
guy
best
you made
individual
me meet
club
at
teams.
The Super Bowl.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's gonna so the FIFA World Cup, which is the countries, that's in 2026.
Yeah.
But in 87 days, we get the Club World Cup.
That
first
was the
time
first
ever.
Time I've ever really seen Samter suck up to somebody. But at the Super Bowl, this guy, I'm not comparing you to this person, but if you ever were to have a Peter Schwartz moment, it was clear. You were like, meet this guy. We're going to get Zach involved in soccer. You know, we'll talk about it. Santa's like, yo, you got some tickets pretty much. Like, you didn't say it to the guy. But I knew what you Santa was scheming there. And I appreciated the scheme.
I mean, he was a bigwig at FIFA. This is like, you know, the organizing body.
Who? What?
Yeah, exactly. the organizing body of international soccer. He's like a bigwig there. So, you know,
by the way,
if
today,
you're going to suck up, that's the guy.
Today is a national holiday. It's a big national holiday. Anyone know what national holiday day it is?
National Daughters Day.
No, it is Women Empowerment Month. They had Women Empowerment Night last night at the Rangers game. The Rangers were just disgraceful up against the Calgary Flames. Stu, do you know what the national holiday is today?
No idea.
It is the New York Yankees Food Tasting Day.
Oh, I saw this.
So this is a national holiday for Peter Schwartz. Can you imagine, just to get free food, he lives on Long Island. That is not an easy commute to get to Yankee Stadium. And this is a yearly tradition. I enjoy it every year where Peter Schwartz goes and covers, eats, and samples all the food there. At Yankee Stadium, all the new additions.
And post it on Facebook and Instagram and everywhere.
Yeah, you know what? I actually may apply to be the social media intern for this new arena football league, like version 8.0, where Peter Schwartz is the GM. Because I think I could pick up the social media game for Peter Schwartz. You know, just some of the posts that he makes about this. I kind of want to help him. I want to be a good person here, but... And the photos that he took at the stadium were absolutely horrendous. You know, I used to photograph food horribly. It takes one to know one, Peter. I'm helping you out here. But, geez Louise, he made a good-looking hamburger look horrible. And it's tough to make a hamburger, you know, a cheeseburger look bad. The only time I've ever seen a worse hamburger, this is now two political references in the show, and we do not usually get political, was Senator Schumer. Remember when he did the 4th of July barbecue? You don't remember this? And he like put like, it was like frozen patties. He didn't even let the burgers cook the burgers and dog and dogs. And right away, they were just put on the grill and it looked absolutely rancid. So Peter Schwartz, if you want me to do an internship, I will be your social media coordinator for whatever league now that the New York Dragons, I think they are coming on back. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. I'll find a dime. I'll put it in the jar or something like that. Anthony in Myrtle Beach is next up. Ant, what's happening?
What's going on, fellas?
Doing great. What do you got for me?
I got two things. I think Mike is on to something with the holding. They should do it like Madden, for example. First down, you get 6 yards. Second down will be 14-yard penalty instead of a complete 20. Huh. So that's a benefit.
Okay.
And the second thing is playoffs. If a 7 seed beats, say, the first seed on a divisional, they then take that platform of the first seed.
Wait, so you're telling me you think if a 7 seed beats a 1 seed in the playoffs, they should then become the 1 seed? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, why not? Because they didn't take the top dog, so now they get home field advantage. And they're going to play in the divisional round, say, you know, say for example, whatever.
But why would you then penalize a team that was better in the regular season and they didn't lose in the playoffs? They would get penalized by that.
Because obviously if they're in a division, let's just say for example, Steelers is 7, Baltimore's 4, and Kansas City's 1.
Okay.
Baltimore didn't beat Kansas City enough to even take first, but if whatever I said beats Kansas City, they should take the first. It's just a jump around. It's just a way to give other teams a way to jump up. I mean, you're only getting one home game, but, you know, it's more or less bragging rights. Why not?
All righty, Anthony, I appreciate the phone call. Here's why that makes zero sense. And let me tell you, Samter wants to change offensive holding.
Yeah, I didn't get that.
Okay, so if it's a pass play, you keep it 10-yard penalty. If it's a run play, it's only 5 yards. I'm like you, I was lost by that.
Yeah.
But that's opened up Pandora's box where Anthony and Myrtle Beach calls in, and now he's saying if you're a 7 seed in the playoffs and you beat a 1 seed, you should become a 1 seed. Here's why that makes no sense. Let's say the 2 seed doesn't lose a game. The 7 seed keeps winning. So the 7 seed, who was not better in the regular season, gets to, like, say, the AFC Championship game. They're now the 1 seed, and the 2 seed, all they did was win, but they get penalized.
Yeah, that makes no sense.
Yeah, makes absolutely zero sense to me. Anyway.
I understand where he's coming from, strangely enough, but makes no sense.
Yeah, but we appreciate it.
It's like one of those things, like, if your team loses to Duke, and then, you know, another team loses to Duke that, you know, by a wider margin, that your team is that much better.
By the way, you're in a very good mood today.
Why is that?
I know why you're in a good mood today.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
Because everyone was on their shine box.
Yeah, that's
shame,
right.
UNC, for getting into the tournament.
It's a crime, an injustice, they said.
And you knew that UNC was going to win last night.
Oh, yeah, they heard it.
But not only did they win, they beat San Diego State like a drum.
Yeah.
So you're in a good mood today.
I'm very good mood.
They going on a little bit of a run here, the Tar Heels?
I have them beating Ole Miss, but...
Do you?
Yeah.
Well, that's not
good. But, you know, we'll see.
I have Ole Miss going to the Sweet 16.
Oh, do you?
All right. Yeah.
Well, I mean, look, you never know what happens.
I like Chris Beard.
I will say, a very good coach. But I will say this, though. They're one of the reasons I picked them is because sometimes, you know, go back to FDU 2 years ago or Virginia Commonwealth. Sometimes you start earlier and you're kind of warmed up, so to speak, by the time you get to that first round game. And the other team is kind of still finding its legs.
Yeah, I wonder if UNC, though, just exhaled a little bit. Like, they got all that frustration on San Diego State.
I don't think so, but whether they can, you know, look, they're not going to duplicate that performance, but whether they could be a facsimile of that still remains to be seen.
The one thing, though, is Chris Beard is really feeling himself lately, and he is really going after it with the media. And a lot of the things he's saying is right, but... It worries me a little bit when you're that boisterous, even though I appreciate, like, Bruce Pearl. I love Bruce Pearl. He said his guards aren't putty cats, you know, meow, trying to clean that up.
Yep.
And he's, you know, they didn't end up winning the SEC.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things, and I know that the comments were made directly before, but they've lost 3 out of the last 4. I just sometimes wonder if those things end up playing a factor. Anyway, question before we take the break. Aaron Rodgers should retire, sign with the Steelers, or sign with the Giants? What do you go with there, Ack?
Retire.
I'm with
please.
You.
Please.
I've had enough.
You know, look, there's a reason he's still out there, and the only teams that are desperate for him are those that are losers. You know, no winning team has its quarterback.
Well, I wouldn't call the Steelers a loser, but they haven't won a playoff game since 2016.
Yes. I mean, they
you're not winning a Super Bowl.
Yeah, they desperately need a quarterback, and you know they're not as much losers as the Giants have been, but
I'm just done with Rodgers. Like
he's a lot of main. I mean, you know, people,
he was fine the last 10 games of the season, but like the juice isn't worth the squeeze anymore. And I just like, I'm good. He's not going to another Super Bowl. I've seen enough of Aaron Rodgers. Just retire at this rate. You wanted to go to Minnesota. Minnesota basically told you, thanks, but no thanks.
We got our guy.
And like, if you really wanted to go to the Steelers, you would have signed with the Steelers today. Instead, he wants to just be an attention drama guy.
And the other team is, if you're a team right now, and that's why I say attaboy spider to the Vikings, is that like, we're trying to make plans. Like, if you can't figure it out and you want to go on vacation, that's your prerogative. Yeah. But, like, we're gone.
Now, even Cam Hayward was fed up.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, attaboy, Spider. You know, I agree with you.
I love
him. I'm right in agreement with you.
Attaboy, Spider.
Yes, this is for you.
Aaron Rodgers should retire, sign with the Steelers, sign with the Giants. That's the poll question. At Zach Elb, at INF Sports. That 10% say sign with the Giants. I think that's just Sean Marash voting. 26% say sign with the Steelers. 64% say retire. So I think a lot of people are just fed up with Mr. Rodgers. All righty. News brief next. Here's Zach. All righty. It's time to answer Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Rob in Boston. I wonder if this is Boston Rob, survivor in the Traitors. Just wondering. I don't think so, but you never know. Zach, did you see the photo over the weekend of Bill Belichick with his girlfriend? You could submit a question by tweeting at INF SportsNet or at Zach Yelp using the hashtag AskThePros. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. I did. And you know what? It's kind of creepy. She's 24. Bill's 72. I'm actually impressed by Belichick, not in terms of the relationship, but the photo. So he's lying down, and his legs are up in the air, and his girlfriend is, like, spread out on his feet. And he is hoisting up the girlfriend. 72 years old. And Belichick doesn't look like he has this great core. But in this case, I think he maybe does. But yeah, I think the whole thing is like, this is a guy that used to say Instaface and Snapface. Like, he would never come close to anything on social media. And now his girlfriend is parading him around social media. I walked past Evan and Tiki during the break. This actually has to do with this too. They had Evan, who is not very athletic, lying down playing the role of Belichick. And then they had former, at the time, CBS Sports Radio, now Infinity Sports Network host Sean Marash, being the role of the girlfriend. And Marash is, even though he's lost some weight, he's looking better. He is still a large fella. So if they tried it the other way, like, well, I don't know if Marash could even lift his legs up in the air like that. But if Marash was playing the role of Belichick and Evan was playing the role of the girlfriend, maybe that could work. But having Marash be the role of the girlfriend, it did not work out well.
We should have Sam to do that with you.
I think I would have to have my legs up in the air and Samter would have to play the role of the girl there. If it went the other way, it would be splat Samter. All right? There would not be anything left of Samter.
Samter would have to play the role of the girl. That's my life. My life in summary.
All righty. Let's just get to a news brief. Go ahead.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
Let's go to Jamar Chase, why he likes Cincinnati.
For me, I like Cincinnati because it gives me the opportunity to come here and focus. You know, I'm not distracted out here. It's not too much, too many things to get me, you know, off pace out here, you know, and it's strictly what I'm focused on. That's really tunnel vision for me to play football. So, I mean, at the end of the day, the food's not the best. We could work on that, but...
chilly,
I'm from New Orleans. I'm not used to the food yet.
He basically said there's nothing to do. The food sucks, so I have to be focused all on football. Respect. Here is Adam Schefter. He makes it clear on the Adam Schefter podcast that the Cowboys wanted Cooper Kupp.
Last Thursday, the Cowboys reached out about Cooper Kupp, and they were interested. Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb, the way I understand it, were on the phone with Cooper Kupp, talking to him about the idea of coming to Dallas. And it was floated out there. And then the Cowboys heard the numbers, and they were at numbers that the Cowboys weren't going to get to, which brings Seattle back into play, which leads to Cooper Kupp getting a deal done with the Seahawks.
So the Cowboys, they said they wanted to be selectively, right, aggressive, I think it was. So they were being selectively aggressive here and still couldn't find a way to get the deal done. What a disaster. Here is Seth Trimble on the critics saying that UNC didn't deserve a spot.
We're not looking to send a message to anybody else. We're just looking to compete as a team and be the team that we know that we're capable of being. And I think we did that tonight. We're going to do that when we get to Milwaukee and go from there. But, I mean, we hear what people say. We don't really care about it. It is what it is. We're focused on us.
And let's hear from Hubert Davis on blocking the outside noise.
I consistently send that message in a number of different ways because that's the only thing that we have control over. And so why waste time doing anything else? And this group has been one of the best at staying connected and staying the course through windy and turbulent times.
And then real quickly, here's Amar Knox on hitting the game-winning shot last night for Alabama State.
We wanted to, you know, throw the ball long, and we put our tallest athletic person to go get the ball. And fortunately, everybody tipped the ball, and it landed to me, and I got the rebound, made the layup. But we executed a play that we practiced on all day in practice, our game plan, and it worked.
So there you go, Amar Knox. Congratulations to him and Alabama State advancing to the real NCAA tournament since they're out of the first four and they're off to the round of 64, where in all likelihood, unless if it's UMBC or Fairleigh Dickinson, you're going to be going home after that. But a cool moment right there, no doubt about it. Stu, Samford, thank you. Ack, thank each and every one of you for calling, listening, tweeting, watching. Thank you as well. Big thanks, in addition to Hot Take Hickey, Luke Hancock for joining us. Talk to you tomorrow, everybody. We out. Bye-bye. Peace.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, what's up, Flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.